Hello and welcome to another episode of the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along.
Thank you.
Right, this week we'll be looking at Saturday's win over East Fife. We'll preview the upcoming matches against Partick Thistle and Montrose. And as well as all that, we'll be hearing from Jim McAnally, Jason Brown and Kieran Freeman. Martin, how's your week been?
Yeah, it's Tuesday again. They seem to come quicker and quicker every week these days.
It was a bit wheat and dreich last week. It seems to kind of change slightly this couple of days, though.
Yeah, it's fine to get a break that that doesn't involve rain, so long may that continue.
Aye. And that was kind of a bit of a worry before Saturday's game, because we had that much rain last week that there was a distinct possibility that it wasn't going to go ahead, but Stanley and his team, the groundsman there, had done a fantastic job, and we got a game.
Yeah, I was quite concerned if I got up on Saturday. I've seen a lot of games getting called off. Seeing it get closer to hand, you know, first of all, it was weekend, and then the Fulmartin game up here as well was called off. So I was a bit worried, but we're delighted to get a game on Saturday to watch.
Aye. So the game itself then, as we said, it was weak, it was dreich, but for some reason that sort of 2 hour period, there wasn't much rain, so thankfully the heavens bid a wa. The one change, I guess the inevitable change, if we think back to what Jim McAnally said last week about Lyle Cameron, he was obviously brought back in again, and that was pretty straightforward, that change. Wasn't expecting any other changes, really, were we?
No, the way that injuries have panned out in recent weeks, it was probably the only change he was going to make, and it was one that was sort of saw that coming.
He basically told us the week before, didn't he?
Yeah, he basically told you the team the week before in the interview, so it's made your research a lot easier.
Oh, aye. I guess it just kind of shows how much he likes Lyle. Even at 18, he sees a great player in him.
Yeah, I think the fact that we chased him for a wee while in the summer to try and get him to come from Dundee, and Dundee obviously have got high hopes for him as well. So yeah, he's a player that you expect to will have a good career, and what we've seen so far in the early part of this season is certainly added to the quality of the squad.
And Jim was right in picking him, as we'll probably discuss as we go on. But even with the tricky conditions underfoot, it was quite squelchy. You could actually hear it in patches, particularly the touchline along the wings. It was pretty bad. But apart from that, Peterhead seemed to start quite brightly. They seemed quite up for it.
Yeah, I said last week, I think it was a game that both teams would feel, if they're going to have good seasons, games against each other would probably go a long way to dictating how their season was going to go. And I think the fact that both teams, they were quite intent on tackling from the word off. So I think that set up for a good game. And Peterhead were rightly on the home team. They were on the front foot from the start and tried to impose themselves on East Fife.
What I picked up on quite early on and was how well that Bailey and Cameron were combining well down the right-hand side. And quite early on, a lot of the good stuff and the good attacks were coming down Peterhead's right-hand side.
Yeah, I think the initial part of the game, anytime Lyle Cameron had, he seemed to get quite a bit of space, but when he did, there seemed to be about two or three East Fife players round about him. I think they maybe slightly underestimated him because as I said, he got a lot of space, but then he caused them a lot of problems. And with Bailey's pace and the overlap, it was a good out ball for Peterhead. If it was congested in the middle, it was a ball out wide to Cameron, Bailey on the overlap. And we did a lot of good things from that in the early part of the game.
I thought Bailey actually probably had one of his better games. I know we were maybe slightly critical of him a few weeks ago, but he seems to kind of found his footing again. And he didn't really put a foot wrong as such on Saturday.
No, there's a lot of good players on Saturday for Peterhead. It's difficult to pick out any player that didn't really have a good game. And as you said, we were critical of him a few weeks ago, especially down at Montrose, and there was a few errors. but I think he's come back stronger. I don't know, maybe Jim's put an arm around him and just said, making the game simpler for him. He's maybe trying to overcomplicate things, I felt, for a couple of weeks, but his performance on Saturday was really, really good.
And it was them that kind of combined to get the first sort of chance, Scott Brown and an effort, long range, a range finder, I guess you would call it earlier on.
Yeah.
But the opening goal, Lyle Cameron scored it. That's him now at three. It was a terrific little finish for the young man.
Yeah, he showed a lot of maturity. Not only with the finish, but with the position as well. At the start of the corner, he's on the edge of the box. Literally on the edge of it. And as the ball's come in, I think you said in commentary, Gary McKenzie's flicked on, and then it's been laid off. But he's, with the attacking intent that he's got, Lyle Cameron's followed it. He's not just stood and watched the ball go in the box, he's followed it in, and he's been there to tap it in. I say tap it in, you know, it's just in the edge of the box. But it's a good finish, and it shows even at the young age, he's got that awareness to try and get in the box.
It was a controlled finish as well, because it went quite easy for him just to blaze that one over the bar, but he's controlled it, he's fired it through a bunch of players, and he's kept it down, and that's, I guess, the main thing for you're trying to do in that area is just get it on target.
Yeah, you said on Saturday the conditions were really poor, and it's quite easy to, you know, with a shot like that, to lose your standing foot as well. So he's got his body over it. It's a very composed finish, and it was the perfect start for us.
Yeah, and from then on, it seemed to be that there was an intent to try and, I wouldn't say kill off the game, but you were looking to get the second. There was plenty of chances. Gary Fraser had a terrific volley, if you remember, edge of the area. He kind of created that himself, really.
Yeah, I think the midfield, particularly on Saturday, we've been critical of them the last couple of weeks, Scott Brown, Gary Fraser in particular. Their performances had, you know, they've set a really good standard at Peterhead, and they've dropped in recent weeks, and both players, I thought, had a really good game. And both of them seem to have that more attack intent and trying to make things happen. So I was impressed with both of them on Saturday, actually.
I'd always say class is permanent and forms temporary, that kind of thing. So you'd always imagine they were going to come back at some point and play well, but it was just, I guess it was just unfortunate that they both played badly at the same time. You could compensate one for the other, but it was just the last couple of weeks that they both seemed to struggle a little bit for whatever reason.
Yeah, and I don't think they've been particularly bad. It's just, as you said, it's both come at the same time and they've set standards before. And, you know, Scott admitted that the other week, that as an individual and as a collective team, they'd fell below standards that they'd set and they weren't happy with the way things were going. But, you know, I thought the players were really up for it on Saturday, and that showed, in especially the first half of the game, we looked really sharp.
And once Fraser did move into the centre of midfield, once McCarthy got injured, another injury blow for Jim, but once Gary moved from that sort of left side, he moved into his more natural centre, that's when he sort of did become more dominant in the game, and Cook just gave us that natural width on the left.
Yeah, I think the link-up play on Saturday was particularly pleasing. Was it the 4-4 game, I was critical of how direct we went. It seemed to be any opportunity we were going really direct, and the Ben's hold-up play was good, but he wasn't really getting that support that he probably needed throughout the game. But on Saturday, it seemed to be, whilst going direct, it was more, rather than lumping it in the air, it was more on the deck, which, given the conditions, it made for a slick pitch. And we spoke earlier on, Lyle Cameron, he was good, and obviously Gary Fraser and Brown in midfield. I just feel that the link-up play was a lot better than what it has been in recent weeks, and that probably allowed the form of Fraser and Brown to improve, because they've got more of the ball and they can change the game more.
I guess as well that the fact that it was Boyd that was playing that lone striker role, you're not going to lump many balls up to him. If you are, he's not going to win many, given his size and stature.
Yeah.
So it almost kind of, you're forced to kind of play a more, you're forced to play the ball to his feet, or play it through the midfield. And I guess as well, he's more likely to drop deep to try and get the ball as well.
Yeah, you said exactly what I was going to say there. Boyd will drop a lot deeper to get the ball, but he needs that support round about, and there's no point playing a pass into him at the halfway line, everybody being in front of him. There's got to be runners from deep. And we got that on Saturday with Cameron, Cook when he's on, McCarthy, Brown, Fraser. They were all had an attacking intent, which was good to see, because I don't think it's been there in recent weeks. We've seen that it's been a little bit just jointed between the lines, so it was good that it all came together.
And Peterhead being Peterhead, of course, just when you think that they're going to get through the half without conceding, they go and concede an equaliser, which is, when you kind of see it again, it's one of those ones that we should have dealt with it a little bit better. I think they were trying to play an offside trap, but only two of them were playing an offside trap, the other two of the back four, I should say, weren't, and that's where it kind of fell apart.
Yeah, and it was probably one of the very few times that East Fife actually got in behind us in the first half as well. And it is down to clever play, but it is also down to poor defending. I think it was a very high line as well. Initially, I did think it was offside, but that was maybe just with the players stepping up and Hamilton running in behind it. Maybe did look a slightly bigger gap than maybe what it was. But it was poor from our point of view, but it was a clever finish because he could have quite easily have taken the shot on himself, but he's played it into his counterpart. Faz basically got a tap in. But it was also a time that Peterhead had created a few chances, and you just wondered, in typical Peterhead style, as you said, whether it would come to rue them, because we had two or three chances to go 2-0 up, and before we knew it, we were back to square one, and it was all level in the game.
As you said, it was the first time that really that East Fife got in behind this. It was the first time really Hamilton kind of had a look at the goal. I think really, other than one shot from Agnew, I think Ray had, he tipped it wide when it bobbled just in front of him. He didn't really have much to do in that half, or really the whole 90 minutes again.
No, I think defensively we looked a lot better, and I generally think that's with Gary McKenzie coming back in. You know, he's getting games under his belt now, and you're seeing that experience of him coming through. Jason Brown alongside him. He's learning. You know, he's admitted that himself. He's still learning the game. So to have his experience alongside him is invaluable. And you know, they looked a very solid partnership on Saturday.
I guess that they would have been disappointed having gone in at the half 1-1. They did look as though they were trying to press out to try and get that lead again. And whatever was said at half time, I must have worked, because they come out of that second half and again they kind of come out all guns blazing.
Yeah, we've seen that a few times. Peterhead will come out the second half, and I don't know what Jim does at half time. I don't think they needed a rocket, because we'd played well. We just couldn't take our chances, which again is frustrating. But it was pleasing that there is that. You know, they weren't happy with the... I thought it was a good performance in the first half, but Jim maybe wasn't quite that happy with it, the fact that we weren't winning. The decision to step up and then we concede but before half-time as well probably infuriated him. But we always felt that we could go on another gear. You know, we didn't seem to... The game was progressive. We always felt if we really needed to, we could step up. And the fact that East Fife scored, it was maybe a blessing. Because you generally feel that if we'd gone in at half time, there might have been that thought process of maybe they're trying to hang on to it. But the way we've been dropping points and performances in recent weeks have been quite easy for them to come out and go, well, we're quite happy with 1-0. But the fact that we've gone in at half time level, maybe just give them that encouragement. Well, you've got to go and, you know, take the game to East Fife more.
Yeah, as I said, they come out firing. And the winning goal for the captain was pretty special.
Yeah, I think I've heard back the commentary. You were quite impressed with that volley, shall we say.
I got a bit excited there. I didn't realise how excited I got.
I was beside you with the commentary, and I thought it was loud then. It's even louder in commentary and the replays. But yeah, it's a fantastic strike. And as you said, you'll struggle to see a better goal this weekend. And it's quite possibly going to be, I would say it's going to be a contender for goal of the season. It really is that good a strike. Because you take into account the conditions as well. You could quite easily have lost your balance. The technique to get it get your body over it as well. It's a strike worthy of winning any game.
Because it's one of those as well, that the ball's dropping from quite a height because the defender's blocked the, or he's headed the cross from Conroy, so up, more up than out kind of thing. So it's dropped a long way. And that's one of those where you almost overthink it. Can you give too much time to think about it? Whereas he's just put his laces through it and it's gone into the top corner.
I'd imagine that Scott could be there doing it all night, every night, and they hit it any sweeter. It's one of them, you'll score it once in a blue moon. And as you said, it's been there quite a long time. It's so easy to get the technique all wrong. You're thinking about it too much. You try and overcomplicate it. He's put his laces through it, and thankfully for us, it's gone in the back of the net.
If you think back to the Forfar game just 2 weeks prior, he missed one for inside the area, which seemed to be the easier of the ones. So it just shows you how mystifying this game could be sometimes.
But the Forfar game, you know, Scott admitted himself his performance wasn't great, but you seen early on in the game, Scott, it was back to what we've seen last season. He was dictating the game, but through rather than shouting, through his own performance, and he was, you know, leading by example there. And I think his performance on Saturday, with every passing pass and minute that went by, he was getting better and better, and just sort of typified his performance that he got the winning goal in the style that he did.
Yeah, I guess we should now mention the referee because his next involvement kind of almost cost us the game, I guess, in the long run, in the grand scheme of things, because having gone 2-1 up and looking pretty solid, looking pretty good, and being the better team, he goes and sends off Gary Fraser. Now, initially, when it happened, we didn't really know what had happened. It took us a long time to figure out and find out why.
Yeah. It's an interesting one. I never stick up for referees, but on this occasion I'll make a slight claim for him. The fact that on the game on Saturday there was a chance Lyle Cameron was potentially through until he was flagged offside at the opposite end of the park, and the referee is watching that. It's his assistant that sort of gets involved in what was a nothing off the ball incident. I say incident, it's two players coming together, they're in close proximity, there's no other action there, and the referee's taking his advice of his assistant to send one player off in Gary Fraser, but leave, I think it was Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to correct me, not Davidson. They left him on, just giving him a yellow. And looking back afterwards, you can see that the incident, and it's either, I feel if a referee's going to take action against one player, then it should be the same colour of card for both players, or you say, just get on with the game and cut out anything that's happening. So I think the officials, they really didn't have a good game on Saturday. A lot of decisions I felt they got wrong for both teams. But I think that linesman just wanted to get involved, make a name for himself, and it nearly cost us the 3 points. But I thought the performance after that was first class from the guys.
You wouldn't, if when you see it back, nobody really makes any kind of movement towards a player. There's no raising of a hand, there's no raising of a fist or an elbow, there's no sort of movement of the head, so you can say, well, maybe that's a headbutt. But there's just absolutely nothing in it whatsoever. They both sort of square up to you. It's one of those kind of things when you kind of square up to each other and go, you probably say something to each other, but that's as far as it went.
Yeah, it's a couple of committed guys coming together, having a little bit of a couple of crosswords with each other, and then that's it. You'll see it every week at every game, and I don't know why the official felt he needed to get involved. And you can tell by the reaction afterwards. Jim and the bench were, you know, far from impressed. The players in the park as well, you know, the incident happened, I think there was about three or four players very mystified, and Gary himself, and he was the one that was involved in it. You know, when he got sent off on Saturdays in the stand, changed afterwards, caught a quick word of him. He was still mystified as to why he was sent off. And looking back at the images, we're surprised as well that there was any action taken.
He, as you said, he'd had a poor game. The officials really had a poor game. He kind of set the standard 10 minutes in when McCarthy had a shot. It was clearly deflected off an East 5 player. In fact, everybody, even including the East 5 players, were about to get set for a corner, and he gives a goal kick. I mean, that just set the bar as to how he's the rest of the game is going to go.
Yeah, there is some decisions as a referee you'd imagine are more complex than others, and there's some that are bread and butter, and that was certainly one of them. It's, you know, the shot's taken, it's been a massive deflection, gone out for a corner. You said it in commentary, the ball's gone out for a corner, and then 2-3 seconds later, he's pointing for a goal kick. And it was mystifying because it was so obvious, and then there was one for East Fife about 10 minutes later, I think it was. The cross come in, it's deflected out for a corner, and it was his assistant that was miles away that had to give it, and he was basically looking at it from a straightforward point of view. So, you know, a lot of indifferent decisions, shall we say, and overall it was poor. But, you know, it just goes by the form a referee in this season in League One has been poor in general, I think.
The East Fife had a free kick as well. It came off the wall. He's standing 5 yards away from the wall. It goes out for a corner kick. And again, he just sort of stands and waits to see what his official, who's like 30 yards away, is going to give. And you think, well, you're 5 yards away. Surely you can see that.
The sponsor of Specsavers is quite ironic in Scottish football. You just wonder if they're like, you know, taking the piss ever so slightly, the fact that they've got them as a sponsor. Yeah, he'd had a poor game. And it would be fine to see either that referee or the linesman, who I think wanted to make a name for himself. So it would be fine if we didn't see them again for a while.
I think the linesman in particular would be quite happy with Nate to come back up again, because he was certainly getting an earful after those decisions anyway from Jim and Davy Nix.
Yeah, rightly so. You know, it was a straightforward corner to listen, and obviously the red card, it was the same linesman that was involved in that. He didn't have a particularly good game. It would be fine if we didn't see him. I'm sure he'd be glad to come back up to Balmour anytime soon.
But on the positive side, as you said, the guys dug in for the remaining sort of half an hour or however long it was, and they played particularly well. They held on, and again, limited East Fife to virtually nothing. They had that one, which was the cross come shot, I guess it come off the bar, the post, whatever it was. And again, there was very little chances that they created.
Yeah, they had that one, and then there was it Hamilton right at the death when it basically fell into Josh Ray's arms. They, as you'd expect, they had a lot of the ball. Were very deep, but we limited them to very much, very little. Sorry, they did have a chance that we thought might have come with something, but the defenders had a wild shot from about 25, 30 yards. You're quite happy to let them have the ball because they weren't really doing much with it. And I think Gary McKenzie gets a lot of praise in terms of the way he marshalled the back line through it. You've seen him talking quite a lot along with Jason Brown. They were deciding when to try and push up, when to sit deeper. You know, I don't think Gary lost a header all afternoon, really. He was very dominant in the air. Because if East Fife were knocking it long, you know, between him and Jason Brown, they always looked like they were going to win it. It was a really good performance for the back line and held out.
And for me, I think you said earlier on as well that I don't think anybody had a bad game. Nobody was being carried by anybody in the team. Everybody performed well, which was pleasing. And as you said, Jason Brown in particular, Gary McKenzie at the back, they just won absolutely everything and gave Hamilton, who was on a bit of form up until till Saturday, and gave him absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I think the whole team had a really good game. In particular, I just want to touch on Kieran Freeman. I'm not sure if you were going to come to that, but his role on Saturday, I think him sitting there in front of McKenzie and Brown, but he allowed Scott Brown and Gary Fraser, in my opinion, to be more advanced, so I felt that the link-up play was a lot better. And I'm not sure if it's a position that Jim sees going forward to having Kieran there, but his performance on Saturday I thought was really, really good.
I know in the Peterhead Twitter, they've called it the Simon Ferry role. Not the Makalele roll, as people more commonly call it, but they're trying to rename it the Simon Ferry roll. But yeah, he was immense again, in a role that we were quite surprised that he started in, but when he looked as though he'd been playing there for a long time.
If the team's announced on Saturday and Kieran Freeman's in goals, it wouldn't surprise me. Because he's literally, I think he's just going to chalk off every position for Peterhead this season. But he never lets you down. He's a very consistent performer. He'll often give you 7, 8 out of 10 most weeks. And yeah, it was a position that, as you said, the biggest credit you can give him. It looked like he played there for a number of years. He slotted in, the experience at Brown and McKenzie behind him, and Brown and Fraser in front. It all seemed to come together on Saturday, thankfully.
Yeah, so it was a pleasing win. So we'll hear now what the manager had to think, say about it.
Okay, Jim, 3 points, much needed 3 points. How pleased are you with that?
I'm really pleased. I mean, I've got a lot of respect for East Fife. They're a good side. I think when the league was stopped last year, they were probably in the playoffs. And they've obviously strengthened a wee bit this year with guys like Danny Swanson and that coming in the squad. So it's a big result against a good team. And then, you know, today we're playing with 10 men for so long, it was even more pleasing. And, you know, the thing being that when we did get into 10 men, we've not conceded many chances. You know, the organisation was really good, discipline, and that came through within. That's the great thing about Gary McKenzie there. You know, you can hear him, you know, he's getting angry, pulls people about. And that's exactly why we've got him here, to be like that. So, you know, and that's 90 minutes under his belt under the cosh. So, you know, hopefully he just keeps improving.
I was going to ask you about Garrett, so you mentioned him there. How vital was he marshalling that back four, especially towards the end of the game as well, when it's got difficult?
Well, I mean, he's massive for the aspect of it's what he does to the other players, and especially Jason, because, you know, if you go back, Jason's best season was when Big Cracks was here, and he kind of feeds off that, and you see him with Big Gary, you know, he hangs off every word that he's saying, and he wants to be, you know, be learning off him, and you know, Jason played really well the whole game today, and, you know, Gary's talking to him, and you know, the thing with Jason and all is that he played safe, and, you know, done all the things that we've been asking him to do. Sometimes he can be a bit chancy, but, you know, today was excellent, and that comes to Big Gary. You know, Big Gary organising us, and as I say, that's why we wanted him here, just to be that leader.
Got a great start. Well, Carmen's scoring again. Nice to get a nice early goal and kind of settle things in a bit.
I thought we started the game well today, and our worst period was when we lost a goal, and for some reason, when we lose a goal, we capitulate for 10 minutes. You know, we're all over the place. We could have lost another goal in that period. And that's frustrating because, you know, I'm not saying we were in control, but we were playing some good stuff at that, you know, in the early part of the game. And then, before you know it, you know, we were a wee bit under the cosh, and it was a goal we couldn't really do a lot about. I mean, I don't think it was offside, but, you know, you guys might know better than me, but it was a fantastic pass for the guy after a good header with Jason, and we just got caught with it. So,
did your defence kind of switch off maybe a little bit, and they were expecting the flag to go up?
Well, I think what happened was is that Jason, no, I might be wrong, Jason and Ryan Conroy didn't go for the same ball, but Ryan was going for it, and then Jason, you know, came and headed it there for the two of them. And it was a fantastic first time pass the boy played, you know. So, you know, it was interesting to see. It looked offside, but obviously it wasn't. But, so, as I say, I thought we kind of recovered a wee bit just before half time. And then we kind of regrouped a wee bit at half time. I thought we started the second half quite well again. And, you know, we scored the goal at a good time again. And then, you know, we get out of 10 men and all bets are off then.
Yeah. Scott Brown's goal, one of the best he'll score, will it? Has he scored any better?
It's a big deflection, isn't it?
Well,
no, listen, his technique was outstanding for it, and I'm not quite sure that the deflection done, you know, made any difference to it, because he caught it lovely. And it's just good to see, you know, goals like that around in the net, because that's what people come to football to watch, or, you know, watching it in online or whatever the day. It's good for them, and it's good for him, because, you know, he's really getting back to his best.
We'll mention the sending off then, which could have changed the game in their favour. Gary Fraser going off, what do you make of that?
No, I've seen it, and it's a poor decision. I don't know why the linesman gets involved in something, and he thinks he's seen something that he's not seen, because, you know, we're watching that again, and they see two players that's faced up to each other, and bizarrely enough, we get a free kick at it at the end of. So somebody's not doing their job right, and I just don't think the linesman needs to get involved. I would think we would be appealing that if we can get good footage. Yeah.
It seems weird that Gary got the red card and that Davidson 3-5 only got a yellow in the same incident. It seems it should have been both cards the same one, nothing apiece.
Well, I mean, even just looking at it, I'm not sure there's a card there, you know. So I don't know. The referee seen some incredible things in the game. The shot in the first half that's deflected, that he gives a goal kick. They then have a free kick that hits Gary McKenzie in the head, and he wasn't going to be a corner.
Yeah.
I don't know. I said that to the linesman. You need to pride yourself and try to do things right. And so, listen, we've no suffered because of the day, but and I think at the end of the day, when you get there with 10 men, it's a nicer feeling, and the players feel as though, you know, they've regrouped and they've shown a tremendous spirit. I just felt a wee bit sorry for Isaac coming back with a long layoff, you know, and having to get into a situation where they're doing it to 10 men. So that was that's why we brought him back, and so that we could speak to him and try and talk him through the game, and then put Dell on to use his wee bit of experience.
Was it positive, the fact that Willem Eddy's fight had very few chances after going down the 10 men?
It was really pleasing for me. I think the cross come short that hit the bar might have been the best chance to the header that Josh Fairling took. That he never opened it up, and that was really pleasing.
Apart from Jack Humphrey's header, which went straight to Josh, he really didn't have much to do again today. So he picked the ball to net once, but again, a lot of chances, a lot of they created, so that again must be pleasing.
That's the thing. I think hopefully, you know, Simon's available again next week. You know, that wee bit of experience through the spine of your team's important. Although I did think Kieran Kieran was fantastic today. So, you know, it's good to know I've been desperate to play him there, because I thought, you know, he would be a good kind of a sitting midfielder, and he certainly showed the day that he is. So that was good. It was good to see.
Right, apologies for the audio. If you could just barely pick up what Jim was saying, busy press area after the game, he's fighting a lot of folk up with him. But generally speaking, he was obviously very pleased with the result, with the performance. Obviously disappointed with the refereeing, and he picked up at the end there how well Kieran Freeman played, as you had said earlier as well.
Yeah, I think overall it was a good day for Jim and Peterhead. It was a good win, a very good performance, a lot of individual good performances as well, and everything just seemed to come together. I mentioned before about four or five players that had been poor in previous weeks, but everybody played well on Saturday. Disappointing that we'll lose Gary for the upcoming three-game ban he'll have. Subject to appeal that may or may not come in from the club.
I would say that they'll appeal.
I'd imagine there would be an appeal coming in.
Yeah.
It was touched on Saturday there might be an appeal. We'll wait and see if that happens. So, but yeah, other than the poor refereeing and the red card, it was a really good day for Peterhead.
And he was kind of almost. He wasn't sort of lambasting the referee as such, but he was almost at a point where he said, he's looking for a referee to perform better, you know, rather than actually slating them. He's just saying, well, can you guys, I think he said as well, you guys need to try and better yourselves. Which is a diplomatic way of saying you are poor.
Yeah, a diplomatic. I think the managers and coaches nowadays have got to be very, very careful what they say in the media regarding referees and their performances, because, you know, the SFA will just clamp down on them. We've seen that before with higher profile managers. So I'm sure little Peterhead, they would have no hesitation in slapping a ban on or a hefty fine, which, you know, the club can't afford at the best of time, never mind during this times that we're at just now. So, you know, I don't think it's wrong for Jim to question referees. I think they've, some of the decisions that they gave on Saturday as a, you know, as a the three of them, the two officials and the referee, they've got to do better. And surely they look at that performance and go, we need to be getting these sort of decisions right. If they want to progress in their career, then the decisions that they made on Saturday have got to be a lot better.
There's no fourth official in League One or out with the Premier League. I'm not sure if there is in the Championship. But is that a situation where you think that a fourth official may have helped that situation?
Potentially. But then we've seen often before, more so in the Premiership in Scotland, because it's on TV a lot more, that the fourth official will see something and do absolutely nothing about it. So it's almost a waste as well, because if he's not going to give the right decision and have an influence in the game, then it's pointless on being there. You know, the official on Saturday probably went home with a sore lug, because the amount of time that Jim and Davy Nick was in his lug, and rightly so, because some of the decisions, and it's not just going against Peterhead, it was just in general in the balance of play, some of their decisions for both teams were really poor. And you also heard Darren Young shouting as well at times, but he was far from impressed. So I think it was quite right for Jim to call that they've got to be better, because Jim mentioned on Saturday's list that it was the same official, same linesman that was down at Falkirk and didn't have a particularly good game there either. So, you know, it's two in the bounce and they've got to be performing better, in my opinion.
On the flip side, with the fourth official, maybe I think the other fourth official might be one of those who wants to make it all about him and he wants to get involved in absolutely everything, whereas he doesn't need to get involved. So there's a fine line between, you know, what's good and what's bad.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have seen the incident on, or maybe not, at Tannadice with Morelos Rangers. The referee has seen the incident and deemed it worthy of only a yellow card, and today he's been cited for too much ban because they feel retrospective action is needed. So even sometimes when they're looking clearly at a decision, they still come to a decision that most people would think is the wrong decision. So, you know, it might be worth having a fourth official, and then, but if they're going to get the decision wrong, then it's pointless having them.
Yeah, right. So let's hear for a couple of players. We'll hear for Jason Brown first, and then we'll hear for Kieran Freeman.
Jason, hard fought 3 points.
Yeah, definitely. I think if you've seen the conditions out there, it wasn't going to be a pretty game. But it was vital that we got a win again. So you know, delighted to get the 3 points.
Was a defender, was it tricky conditions, you know, underfoot?
Definitely. I think the boys coped to it really well. It's I don't think you can see from the stand how hard it is actually out there to plant your foot and judge the ball. I think a few times where it might be going and you're having it turn on that surface, it's not easy. So no, I think everyone from the goalie to through the back four midfield dealt with the conditions probably better than them, and that's where it came out in the 3 points.
How are you still around with Gary McKenzie?
Yeah, definitely. It's just like playing with Rolls Royce. He's brilliant. He's you see the stature and the experience, and for me, the little things off the ball, him speaking is brilliant. I think we'll be pretty comfortable today, and it does made a massive massive improvement to us today. I mean, you just look to him, he's cool, he's calm, he feels like in situations he's speaking to me throughout the game. We haven't had that this season, where maybe I'm still learning the game myself. So no, with that bit of experience, it's brilliant, and I can hopefully many more games with him.
Was that something you were maybe lacking last season then, that experience alongside you?
Definitely, I think so. I think we've seen the games he's played this year for a second half when he comes on here today. I don't think we have a lot of chances, and I think a lot of it comes from everyone
maybe not just playing better with him, but the fact we know he's there and he's talking to us all and speaking all the time. So no, it's can't speak highly enough of him, but hopefully we can continue like that.
It was an eventful second half. Guy Fraser got sent off. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I didn't see too much of it, to be honest. I think we were on the break and maybe something off the ball. I'll need to see it back to see if it was. But after the red card, the boys dug in brilliant again. I think keeping Big Josh in there, safe to make. He's made one comfortable at the end, but apart from that, I think we defended him really well.
Was it a pleasing thing for you, Gary? You know, we've gone a man down, yet you've hardly given his wife a sniff, really.
I think so, and it's probably a lot to do with him as well. Big Gaz is, when we go down 10 men, he's straight away, his head straight on to building us up and how we're going to play the next 15-20 minutes, where in previous games we maybe we'll lose our rag a wee bit and spaces start to come open. But no, I think we've kept pretty grounded. Even when we went down to 10 men, yeah, we know they're going to have a lot of the ball, but I don't think they've done too much with it, and that's pleasing for the boys in there.
Was that a game last season you might have lost?
Yeah, I think so. Like you said before, I think it's a lot to do with experience and having that experience on the pitch. I know we're missing Sai, who's a big influence on our game, so to Gaz to step in, yeah, so once we get Sai back as well, I think the boys will be looking up.
I think that everyone knew after the fourth game was slipped up. I think they knew we needed to get a win today, and that obviously things going a bit against us. I think a cracking result. Everyone's buzzing with the 3 points.
Got off to a great start. Lyle's got another goal. He's been fantastic for us so far.
When you watch him, you just stand back and watch him. Sometimes the positivity that he's got, he just runs at people. I don't blame the defenders for not wanting to play against him because he plays off offensively.
And Scott Brown with the winner. Is it a well there, or was it a big deflection?
I was quite close to it, and there was a deflection. Don't take that away from him. I think he's got to improve on the celebration, but it was actually a cracking goal.
For yourself, was that position number 4 or 5 so far?
Six.
Holding role, how did you find that today?
We got a bit of joy when in the first half. I think we played a little bit, getting the switch play. Obviously second half there was no football played, but that's where you've got to just do the dirty work. Me and Scotty, I thought Gareth and Jason were organising, just stay compact and let them break us down, which I don't think Josh had a safe to make. But the one that caught us all out and hit the post. But to be fair, we were pretty confident with the 10 men.
Did you make the sending off there?
Yeah, I just seen two heads go together. I don't know what, the line of things that he put in. It's the line of decision, but I thought it was a bit harsh, but we didn't let that affect us. We started playing again.
He's knuckled then. Once you could hit 10 men, as you said, you know, limited to very little.
Yeah.
How pleasing was that?
It was very pleasing. I've played in some teams that have just caved in and used that as an excuse, but we sort of used that to drive us on, and we were solid. But it was perfect, really.
Scott Brown, you gave the man a match on Saturday. Two guys there, Jason Brown and Kieran Freeman, would have been in consideration as well.
Yeah, I think Gary McKenzie came into my thoughts as well. I don't think he lost any aerial battle on Saturday and marshalled the team through the last 20-25 minutes down to 10 men. Yeah, there was a lot of candidates for it. I just felt that Scott, the overall performance has been poor in recent weeks. He came back with a good goal as well and got to get the guys through in midfield. Kieran and Jason definitely come into my thoughts, but I thought Scott just pipped it.
So on to the next couple of games. Partick Thistle away next Saturday, then Montrose at home next Tuesday. But the sounds of it, Simon Ferris should be back from his injury. Isaac Lane's on his way back as well. He came off the bench on Saturday. Kieran Freeman's obviously playing every role other than goalkeeper at the minute. And all of a sudden, he's going to have some selection issues, which he's been wanting to have for a long time.
Yeah, and it's the right sort of issue, the fact that players are coming back. But, you know, a prime example, Simon Ferries should be fit for Saturday, but Kieran Freeman did such a good job there on Saturday. Do you go and change it when it's working pretty well. It'll be interesting to see how it goes, because obviously we're going to have two games in 3 days. So you'd imagine that there would be some rotation somewhere along the line. It'll be interesting to see what it goes with.
I guess it'll maybe all hinge on the appeal for Gary Fraser's red card. I know. I guess he'll have a team in mind regardless if he gets his appeal or not. You know, he will have a team with him and a team without him kind of thing. But yeah, you know, if you play Freeman, do you drop Simon Ferry or just play him on the bench? Do you bring in Ferry? Do you then try and shoehorn Freeman into somewhere else? You know, or do you play him in the back four? Does that mean you have to drop one of the back four? It's intriguing questions that he's going to have to answer.
Yeah, because I think a way to part of this as well, I don't think we're going to have much of the ball either. So you then take into consideration players' level of fitness, how fatigued are they, you know, and it's, you know, also they only train once, twice a week, so you've also got to take into consideration the personal circumstances, the jobs that they're doing as well. You know, 2 games in 3 days at this level will challenge a lot of the players. So I think he's going to have to be careful and doesn't run the risk of, you know, overplaying players in the next couple of games.
Apart from sort of sitting second, you would think, or certainly at the start of the season, you would have thought they would have been the top one or two by the end of the season. But they got off to a kind of shaky start, lost two of their first three, but they've now gone unbeaten in the last six. Maybe just sort of adapting slightly to the different league since dropping down, so they're going to be dangerous customers.
Yeah, we've mentioned numerous times it's a very competitive league, League One, and anybody can beat anybody. I think part of this one maybe just caught on the hop a wee bit. The fact that there hadn't been, you know, so long between the seasons as well, probably didn't help them. New team, a lot of players coming in. But like you said, and rightly so, I think they're now finding their feet, and I think really it will be a case of Falkirk and Partick Thistle challenging at the top, and you'd imagine the likes of Cove and Montrose would just be in behind them in the playoffs. But yeah, it'll be a difficult game for Peterhead on Saturday, but again, if you're wanting to do something in the league and have aspirations of, you know, doing something positive in promotion playoffs, it's probably the sort of game you've got to try and get, you know, pick up a point at least.
12 and a half years since the last time Peterhead played Partick Thistle, 2008. Obviously, Partick Thistle being championship and premiership team since then. Obviously, the game before that was that playoff game back in 2006, where Partick Thistle went up to the second tier, which is now the championship, instead of Peterhead on penalties, which I guess still hurts quite a bit for Peterhead fans, even what, 14 years later. So it would be nice to maybe try and get one over them.
Yeah, it's only certainly sticks in the throat. It's not a nice feeling. They're getting promoted in that way as well. A lot of the club, both clubs have completely changed over that period. But as you said, it would be nice to get a one up on them. It's not a grudge match as such, but you know, you'd certainly like to go down to Fair Hill and be delighted to come away with 3 points.
Yeah, and of course the following week, the following Tuesday I should say, it's a home game against Montrose. Again, Montrose had a bit of form again as well. Russell McLean, he's firing in the goals as well. He's now got 5 in his last 6, so typical former player coming up against you. He did score 2 goals in the last game doing there as well.
Yeah, it was an entertaining game doing at Lincs Park. And again, as we've mentioned so many times already, we're in mistakes, so we're undoing. But I certainly think if we put in a performance like we did against East Fife against Montrose, then we should be on the right side of a positive result. But Montrose, like most teams in this division, have got really good technical players, and it's what team that we put out that can stop them while still being effective in our own right. And I think as we're coming into towards the end of the year, it's a tricky week period. Sorry, I'm trying to say that we're coming into. And I think the next couple of weeks will sort of give us an idea of what sort of season we're going to have. You know, the league is sort of, it's now splitting ever so slightly. Montrose are fourth with 13 points, and then we're doing the seventh with 9. So you can just see that little bit of a gap now starting to creep in that we thought would happen. In the next couple of weeks, if Peterhead are getting, you know, the players have spoken before, they're looking up the league rather than below, and they're wanting to be in contention for promotion playoffs, then Partick Thistle and Montrose are certainly games you're going to have to pick up favourable results.
Well, after the Partick Thistle game, that'll be us played every team. We'll be a third of the way through. Of course, it's a shortened season, so we'll have played everybody by then, so obviously Montrose is the second time. You know, I like a start, but I've got a start here.
Here we go.
So, since 2017, in the five games away from home at Montrose, there has been 32 goals. So you're averaging almost 6 goals a game. But in the three games at Balboa, there has only been 3 goals. There's been a 1-1, a 1-0 to Montrose, and a 0-0.
Ah, that is a good start.
Interesting to see how you know, the two sides over the same period can score goals in one stadium, but struggle in another.
Just shows you how effective the wind is at Balmoor, preventing goals going in. It seems to be a lot of attacking games at Montrose between both sides. Like we mentioned that one down at Lynx Park earlier in the season, that both teams can score, and if we're going to do it, it seems to be at Lynx Park. So hopefully we can get a couple of goals next week at home to Montrose, but hopefully it's in our favour.
I guess by the time we record again, if we get away with 4 points, you would take that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think on paper, this is probably one of our most difficult games. Because Falkirk, you go there and you don't expect to get anything. I'm not saying we expect to get something at Partick Thistle, but you just think that, you know, they have shown that they had struggled earlier on the season. And Thistle's always one of them teams. You're never sure if it's what a team is going to turn up. It's going to be tricky, but again, as I mentioned, if we've got any aspirations like the players of making promotion playoffs or being in contention, then you're going to have to try and pick up points in these sort of games.
I think if we score first at Partick, that might just be quite telling as to how Partick Thistle can fight back.
Yeah, because we seen on Saturday, even with 10 men, we were quite compact and we didn't allow these 5 many chances. So if we do go 1-0 up, it would be brilliant. It gives us a hang on to. On the flip side, as you mentioned last week, that when we go away to some of the teams, we do have this habit of conceding really early, and then we struggle to get back into the game. So, again, it comes into how Peterhead's going to play as well, and that will be a telling sign early on in the game, and going by what team he picks as well, Jim.
Yeah, so obviously with the Montrose game, we'll be recording a day later, and we'll be putting our next episode out on the 23rd, on the Wednesday, rather than the normal Tuesday slot, so that'll just a little bit of an adjustment, and then we're going to take a break after that as well over the festive period. Then we'll be back at the new year, so we'll have one more next week, slightly later than normal on the Wednesday, and then we'll have a wee break, a deserved wee break, I think.
Yeah, it's been a very busy year, a lot busier than what we thought it was going to be. We did have our initial plans, what we were going to do in the summer, and then all of that changed and became almost like a marathon from March through. But I think we've done well. We've kept the content going. So I think a week off over the festivity period has been well earned.
I think so. Yes, we'll. Maybe we'll have a toast to ourselves, because obviously we're not going to toast ourselves in person, but we'll...
No, it'll be remotely done as well.
It'll be remotely done as normal. Well, that'll be it then for this week. My thanks as always to Martin for joining me, obviously we'd like to thank you all for listening as well. We'll be back again next week, as I said, on the Wednesday. Until then, we'll see you then. Cheers.